It's good to have our brother Jay back from Mexico. I'm glad that they had a safe trip. It looks like he has prepared something interesting for us this morning. And I would ask that each one of you would open your hearts and your minds to those things that he has to say and how they apply in our lives. I now ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother Jay Moser.
Thank you, Dwayne. Certainly want to wish all you fathers a happy Father's Day. I want you to wish me one. But thank you. Grandfather, that's right, which I'm very happy to be. I had a good trip into Mexico with Jose. Got to know he and his two daughters, Mary and Didi, quite well. I learned a lot about them while we were down there, about his family. When I was there, I used this model that I have up here for a lesson that I have. I want to use it again today for something different. We live in a world that is both chaotic and ordered at the same time. There is a theory. The theory of relativity, you know, that Einstein came up with this theory that the world really basically is an ordered thing. And there's another theory called the theory of chaos that it's not. My theory is that they're both true, that the world is chaotic and ordered at the same time. And it's difficult for us to know sometimes where to go because it is both chaotic and ordered at the same time. There are rigid guidelines and laws, and then there's things that don't seem to have any pattern at all. God holds the world together by his power and keeps the chaos in check. And God has a better way. And you and I have a better cause than most of the people in the world, a better reason for doing things. We have a purpose in life. And I'd like to talk about that, and that purpose. And I want to begin by reading a scripture found in the book of John in chapter 14. I want to begin with the first verse in the book of John in chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus made this statement. He said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way, ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, that's an ordered path, that there's only one way to get to our Father in heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. And he has given us this illustration that he's the only way and the sure foundation in the world that we have to build our life on. And as he is building our mansion in heaven, we must build our life here on the earth. And in effect, we're also building that mansion in heaven. And you know, we have a better way. It's a more sure way. But the world doesn't see it that way to a great extent, but we should. And we need to be showing the world this better foundation. We need to be telling the world about how Jesus Christ is the better way. I want to quote a scripture that I find in Alma that I thought of today when I was thinking about this better way. That in times of trouble, the Lord always provides, if we will look, a better way, a way of making decisions, a way that's based upon something that's more important than something else. And in Alma chapter 20, verse 50, there's a statement made here that when it says that the Nephites were in a battle and they were fighting and the Lamanites were fighting against them, and the Lamanites were fighting against them because of their hatred. The Lamanites were fighting because of their great hatred they had for the people around them and for the Nephites. But it says here that the Nephites had a better reason for fighting. I'm going to read that. It says in verse 50 of chapter 20 of Alma, "Nevertheless, the Nephites were inspired by a better cause, for they were not fighting for monarchy nor power, but they were fighting for their homes and their liberties, their wives, and their children, their all, yea, and for their rights of worship and their church." You know, and that's what we're fighting for in this world. You know, as I was traveling through Mexico and in my experiences in life through the years, I've come to realize that we are truly in a battle. We are in a battle. And there is a great opposition in the world. It seeks to destroy us. It seeks to destroy us by tainting us in some way. I remember how years ago when I watched Brother McIndoo, he stood up here and he had a little glass of water and he put a droplet of either food coloring or something in that water, and that clear, pure water, and how it changed the entire glass to another color of water. He just wants to taint us in the slightest way. And you know, I've noticed that, and it's true. Wherever you go, if you can find someone perhaps maybe in the family that may be an alcoholic. And the interesting thing about it is they usually don't do this where it's completely in secret. Somehow, that habit or that addiction seeks to take over everyone in the family in some way. Either by getting you to accept it, by getting you to help them, they try to get you to join them, they try to get you to approve of it. Evil doesn't just seek to exist side by side, it seeks to take over. And we, in some respects, must think in the same way. We must seek to overcome evil by doing that which is right. And it's true, and if you would think about it, that's what happens in so many things, that they don't just exist side by side. So often, they really try to take over a situation. And those sins and things in the world, they end up taking over someone's life. They take over and their neighbor's lives, and all kinds of things can happen. They take over and they infringe and they interject themselves into someone else's life. And we must also interject ourselves into people's lives. But God has given us His Son to look at. He's given us His Son to build our lives upon. And you know, a lot of people in the world, they think that God did something and that He's now dead, or He did His work, He completed it, and He turned it all over to you, and that's all there is to it. You know, you just got to build your life from now on, and you just start building your life or your home upon your foundation about the things that you know about Christ, and that's all there is to it. But there's more to it. And if you're just building, not looking for what God is doing right now, then you're going to fall, and your life is going to fall. But God is different than that. We know that He is the same, and we know that He continues to interject Himself into the affairs of men. And we must believe that He continues to have a desire to be in our lives and to be part of your life. And He extends Himself into the affairs of men. He gives us a pattern. He gave us something to found our lives on, but He still works. And if you read in John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus made a simple statement. He says, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." God works. The Father in heaven is working, and so is Jesus Christ. He didn't just cease to work in those days. He continues to work. And when He made this foundation for us to build our lives on, He continues to work into the affairs of the children of men. And sometimes we don't recognize, we don't really know. It's hard to tell sometimes when you see a rain cloud up there. Is that simply because of the heat that's in the world? Or is God at times in this chaotic universe of clouds and weather? Is there some spiritual force once in a while that actually pushes on the other side to create the rain cloud? Sometimes you don't know. But there may be, in all these things that are chaos, God may be pushing on the other side. And He works this day. He brings us into situations where you must make choices. He brings us into situations where you must, or you have an opportunity that you never had in your life before. God does things for us. He works in our lives, and He works in His church. He does all these things. But sometimes, you know, we don't permit Him to... We do try to build sometimes without waiting for Him to do something for us, without waiting for Him to kind of lead the way. And we have a tendency to build, and without his knowledge and without His giving us direction. But you know, in this particular model we have here, all these blocks, they fit on here one way. And they don't fit very well when they're upside down. They don't fit very well when they're turned around. They really, the way this thing is, just because of all the imperfections, the human imperfections, when you're drilling things, everything's a little bit different. And so they all fit in one place on this thing. And they have one place that they fit, and they won't fit anywhere else. They fit there. I can't take this one and put it here because it's not going to line up. Or I'm going to have a mess when I get done. Everything goes in its place, and we have to let God have His way. We have to let Him begin to work things out in our lives and set everything in its proper order. And He does that. He cuts these blocks. He shaves them, and He molds them. And He sets everything just where it's going to fit the best for you. And the best thing for you, that for whatever purpose He has in your life, His first purpose, of course, is that He is preparing a place for you in heaven. And everything must fit just in its right place. I want to read here from the book of Alma, chapter 16, verse 171 and verse 172. And it says this in verse 171, Alma 16, "And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the Word in nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by you shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure. And ye shall feast upon this fruit, even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, and neither shall ye thirst." This is the promise, but it requires a diligence and a waiting and a patience. And by, as the Lord fits all these things into our lives and shapes them one by one, and we could try and, you know, make everything fit. We could try and skip some point step in this thing that God has for us, and we just end up with a mess. Then He's got to start all over again to try and fix everything in our lives. You know, He does that. He does fix everything in our lives. But I've also discovered, after 52 years, that He makes me pay for my mistakes. You know, I can get out of them. But He makes me pay with time and effort and money and sorrow. He makes me pay. So I'll learn. Don't do it again. Wait for me. See what I'm going to do. Wait and see what I'm going to do in your life. He calls us to build. He's called us to this work. He's called you here this day. He calls us. And I want to go to 3 Nephi, chapter 12. He calls us to something so precious, to do and to work and to act and to function and to follow. And in chapter 12, I want to read the last few verses of that chapter. Some of my favorite ones which I end up using wherever I go to teach the gospel of Christ, anywhere in the world, these verses somewhere will be used because they're so important. I want to read verse 33 through 35 in 3 Nephi chapter 12. It says this, "Now this is the commandment, repent all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, be baptized in my name, that you may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that you may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel, and you know the thing that you must do in my church. For the work which you have seen me do, that shall ye also do. For that which you have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if you do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up the last day. Even giving us this pattern of where everything should go and giving us a way and calling us to Him. He calls us. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 14, another beautiful scripture. I just want to quote this one verse. It says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing towards the mark. He calls us to do this work. He calls us to press forward, to keep going on and on. I like the in the admonition we found in page 265, or song number 265. In the first verse, there's something God has called us to do. And I like this. In, I guess, is this the third line? Is that a stanza? I don't know what that is. Anyway, third line down with all the music bars are there. It says, unto honor, I have called you to honor. To live honorably. To be. To live in honor. To live in glory someday. That's what He's called us to do. He's called us to live that way. He's called us to be honorable. Appreciated the Sunday school class today. Just kind of fits right in. He's called us to be honorable, to live righteously, to be good. He's called us to come build our lives upon Him. You know, and it makes a difference how you build. You can't just build. You've got to build the right way with the right materials in everything that we do. And see, like I said, it doesn't work, but just one way. It only goes one way. But He's called us to build with the right materials. And before I carried this down to Mexico, this was nice and white, and now it's got all kinds of marks all over it from riding the back of Jose's trailer. But He calls us to build with the right materials. And it matters how we build. It matters. Every single thing we do every day of our life makes a difference in how we build. I want to go into 3 Nephi chapter... No, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And in chapter 7, I want to read beginning with verse 7. And I want you, as we're reading this, to consider that all of the words that Christ uses, you know, sometimes you might look at the Sermon on the Mount as something that's just a collection of proverbs or something, but you know, it's like this model. Everything just fits together in a certain way, and one thing leads into the next, and on and so forth, to build up, to make this beautiful model. In chapter 7, verse 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts, give good things to them that ask Him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruit you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You know, it's all a statement. It isn't just a collection of proverbs. It matters how you build. It matters what you ask for. It matters what you seek for. It matters what you do to others. Every day of your life, it matters. It matters. It matters where you seek for things. You know, if you build your life on grapes or on thistles, you're not going to have any. If you plant a bunch of thistles, you're not going to have any grapes. If you're a thief, you're going to be stolen from by God. He's going to withhold things from you. You've got to build your life out of those things which are good. You have to build your life, as we studied in Sunday school, out of things which are honest and right and just before men and women, wherever you go. If you want to receive from God, you've got to do the same thing. That's how you build your life. And it makes such a difference. You know, and how do we get up there, you know, to this place we're trying to build? We get there with God's Word. I got it printed on the Holy Bible. You get there with God's Word. And it fits in a certain place. And it goes right there. And the Book of Mormon goes on top of it. We believe in the Book of Mormon. And they fit right in line with one another. One leads into the other and vice versa. Going up and down in any direction. And everything fits just perfect. And we have one more. And we call it Latter-day Revelation or whatever. But I want to read a verse of Scripture found here in James chapter 1. A very important verse. Wherever I go and teach the gospel, I use this verse. Chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But you know, there are all kinds of religion in the world. They ask things. Things come into their minds and they think perhaps God or their version of God has told them everything that comes into their mind or everything that they believe has been shown to them. And it doesn't matter what it is. There are people who see signs all over this world. Signs of the Virgin Mary. And it doesn't fit. It doesn't come in line with these other two books. So anything that comes from God in the way of Latter-day Revelation or anything that comes from God or comes into your mind, if it doesn't fit in the same line, it doesn't belong. You better not be doing it. It's got to fit just right. God speaks to us. As He has extended Himself into our lives, He speaks to us if we ask. He guides us there into His Word in a specific way, in a simple way. And I'm so thankful that we have such a simple gospel. So if I was to continue there in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, right after I finished reading there, we find these words. Beginning with verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Yeah, there's a lot of chaos in the world, but God has told us if we'll build our house upon what He has said, if we will build our lives upon His words, that those things which are chaotic and come into the world, they will not move us from that rock unless you just simply step off. If you step off, you can do anything you want to, but if you stay there, you're not going to be moved. Stay on His Word. Stay on His promises. The thing that I like to point out about this verse, these verses, is it says the rains come and the winds will blow. They will blow. It is a promise. They will come. And you must be founded upon that which is right. You know, in this little model, they've got windows on both sides of this model. And they come out, and for the particular model, you know, that we have here, that when I'm teaching people about the church, well, each one means something. But I'm just going to use a couple of different things here for this. These windows, of course, they let light in, but they also let light out, don't they? They let light out. Let light in, let light out. We have to have faith. We show our faith. We go back here to the Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 to 16. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, the Book of Mormon has one little difference, and that's a very important difference when it talks about, you know, you being the salt of the world and the light of the world. It says, I give it unto you to be that. You know, you have the opportunity if you want to. You may be the light of the world if you choose to be. You can be the salt of the world. I give it to you. It's your gift if that's what you will do. But this course, you know, he could be talking to all kinds of people, couldn't he? You know, he'd be talking to anybody, and sinners, and they're not necessarily the light of the world at the moment. But I give it to you. If you will be the light, you can be the light. A light in the world through good works and good actions, like we talked about in Sunday school today. How is your life going to show? Can you withstand some persecution? Can you withstand the temptations? Can you withstand the time, the years that it may take to work in somebody else's life? And in patience, the same kind of patience that God has with us, waiting for us and leading us and continuing to extend Himself into our lives. Can you continue to do that at times? Oh yeah, there's times when we have to wash our feet and go about wash the dust off our feet and leave a place and go somewhere else because God calls us to do that, to continue on. But there's all kinds of situations in the workplace. We are there every day. Some of you have worked in some of these places for years and years. What kind of impression do you make over time? So, our good works. Like Job made the statement, that we should be willing to shine a light in this world that is different, that no matter what happens to us, we're going to shine this light. And Job illustrates that by the statement he makes, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. You know, that's the kind of a light that God really would like, you know, and us to be willing to give everything for Him. And He will support us. But sometimes, like Job, He makes us wait so that they can see. So it's plain to them. So it's plain. You know, on the other side, there's windows too. And because we have to shine our light out into the world, I want to read in the book of Luke, chapter 24. Beginning with verse 45, this is what it says there. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. One of His intents is that the gospel would be preached everywhere. That's His intent. That's what He wants. And I want to express to you the great importance that you have sitting here in church today. How important you are. You know, it would be very difficult when I'm going down there with Jose. It would be very difficult for me not knowing that you were here. I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not. It would be very hard. If I didn't know you were here, meeting and worshiping, it would be very difficult. I need to know that. And your function in this world is to help change the world. One life at a time, to shine your light, to find the better way, to exhibit the better way, our better cause in this world. And so I want you to think about that. It would be very hard not knowing that you were all back here and that I had your support, I had your prayers and your concern. I think over time, I would fall away. That's what I think. I don't know that, but that's my supposition. You are very important to me. You are very important to this work in everything that we do and all the little things that we do as we try to maintain this, to keep it going. It's so important. It's so important. Well, you know, God continues all of our life to help us and to bless us. You know, the doorway into this kingdom, we know, is by following Christ's example, entering into the gate of baptism. There's only one door. There are no other doors in there. That's the only door going into our life is through baptism. And He also, He gives to us the Spirit, His Spirit, to be with us. He guides us and He gives a light comes in into our lives periodically, new illumination, new understanding, a new touch of His Spirit, a time when we realize sometimes that God is with us. You know, there was a time here just a little while back when I felt, I had a bad day, and we had those bad days, and I really was feeling kind of bad, but the Lord just opened my mind to something, some little thing about what I was doing and that I had done something to help a couple of other people. And the Lord showed me clearly, you know, just for a little while that my motives were okay. I was doing what He wanted. And I felt rest because God opens up our understanding. And there are times when He does things for us. He gives us gifts. There are times when He leads us. There are times when He gives us revelation. There are times when He heals us. And there are miracles. And there are things which He does from time to time to let light into our lives. He continues to work with us in our life as we're building our kingdom. Well, it says here, in the book of Psalms, chapter 23, verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." You know, I know that the rod, that the Word of God is a rod, but there are times when we feel the comfort and the power of God, His staff correcting us, pulling us. Just like the shepherd's crook, he would to pull us back into line, to poke us this way, to poke us that way. He comforts me, and He helps me, and that's how I look at God's work in my life. You know, we come down to the final steps. And there's a scripture found in the Book of Mormon in chapter 9 of Mosiah about the covenant which we make, a covenant to help and to guide other people, to be a support to them, to be a witness for God. And this is in chapter 9, beginning with verse 38. And it says, "And it came to pass that he said unto them, Behold, here are the waters of Mormon, for thus were they called. And now as you are desirous to come into the fold of God and to be called His people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light. Yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn. Yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and stand as a witness of God at all times and in all things and in all places that you may be in, even unto death, that you may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. And now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your hearts, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord as a witness before Him, that ye have entered into a covenant with Him, that you will serve Him and keep His commandments, that He may pour out His Spirit more abundantly upon you." You know, and this is part of this model up here is a protection that we have. We have a protection that God gives us, and it's a the fruits of His Spirit, the guidance that we receive through His Spirit, being willing and desirous to serve Him, and it keeps us safe. It keeps our brothers and sisters safe. It helps them when we are witnesses. It helps them when we bear one another's burdens. It's a protection. It's one of the things we put on top of our kingdom. It's one of the things we put on top of this mansion that we're making, that Christ is making for us in heaven. We have to be willing to do this, to comfort and to strengthen and to help. And the other thing I want to put up here, I've got a poem I want to read on this other side. Being that it's Father's Day, I have this poem written by my grandfather, Don Willard. Some of you know him or knew him. This was one of his better poems. He wrote this later in life. And he says this, "Like as a sheep inclined astray, my shepherd's eye was on my way. There were pitfalls I met each day and tempting snares for me to play. Faithful parents taught me the truth of daily bread from early youth. I found my aim one day in school." That would be the school of his parents. "And God supplied the golden rule. At first I had to learn to earn that daily bread, and in return, do honest work for honest pay. I've never heard a better way. Long years are gone, and I am still here. My end of road is drawing near. My good shepherd I hope to meet, and humbly kneel to touch His feet." Beautiful thoughts from my grandfather, and I witnessed this kind of a life in him. He always sought to do that which was right in the world. He was a businessman. He was an honest businessman. And we have to live and work in this world, and everyone's going to be watching what you're doing. And this is a protection for us. It would be a kind of a terrible thing if someday when some one of us does something terrible and somehow the news media gets a hold of it. Boy, are they going to blow that out of proportion. And the hard, slow work of the people that are going to begin to know you a little bit at a time know that, you know, this person is really trying to do the right thing. I know because I've watched them for years and it makes an impact. It is a protection for us building our kingdom. In this temporal world, you've got to live and you work. You've got to buy. You've got to earn money. You have to make decisions. And all those temporal decisions are the thing that's going to protect you in the end. Doing the right one. Making the right decision every day of your life. With those that are around you. The people that don't like you. Now, I like this little phrase, "Do honest work for honest pay. I never heard a better way." how important that is to do those things. Well, we finish this off. You know, it's not so much that in the world that we don't have trouble, because we do. But the point is, I guess, is that it's not all the hard times, but it's, you know, out of all these things, the blessings we receive when we follow God, they outnumber and they outweigh. They outweigh the problems in life. And of course, there's this steeple. The crowning glory of our house and our mansion is God's love. It is the more excellent way spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, when he says this, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." In the next chapter, it goes right into that more excellent way. "Though I speak with the tongues of angels and men, if I have not charity, I'm a sounding brass." And charity suffers long and is patient and kind and so on and so forth. That enduring love over all things in God's house, in God's church, among God's people, and in as you're building, giving Christ the building blocks for your mansion. That's one of the things we have to put on top of everything. You know, there's been a lot of trouble and things in history and in the world and all kinds of things. But, you know, in the end, I kind of like this song we have pasted in the front of our book. It's called "Our Church." "O God, our church, a beacon light, still stands through all the storm and night. To be our guide on life's wild sea, bringing us safely back to Thee. Through her great halls, glad voices ring, as grateful hearts their homage bring. They leave the busy world outside, and come where peace and joy abide. Help us to keep our hand in Thine, lead us in paths of truth divine. Reign in our hearts, O God of love, that we may join Thy church above." May God bless you each in your efforts to be walking in the better cause and the better way.